Megan, let's talk about what wasn't covered in the speech last night. We didn't hear about climate change. We didn't hear about economic inequality. What was a glaring omission for you and why?
We did have a quick shout out to clean air and clean water.
After talking about the EPA.
Good. I mean, I think we have to be honest in that this was a good moment for him. He had two objectives last night. He wanted to reset his image with the American people, and he wanted to reset his image with his own party. He's got some incredibly difficult battles to fight ahead in terms of getting his legislative agenda ahead. And David is exactly right. While we don't know details, we do know getting forward a comprehensive tax reform plan and getting forward an Affordable Care Act, repeal and replace, and what's going on with Obamacare is going to be very difficult. I think in terms of the omission, in terms of where he could have and should have done more, was number one on fleshing out the details of the things that could have been a very easy win for him, and I think a bipartisan win.
For example?
One of those is infrastructure. Okay. Now, if you look, we showed a little bit of a clip there, but when you look at this administration, you look at some of the missteps and the mistakes they've had, which have been immense. One of them was obviously the immigration order rollout and the refugee from seven predominantly Muslim countries. But I think when you look back and you look back at the early days of this Trump presidency, and if he turns out to be a relatively unsuccessful president in getting his agenda set forward, one will be he missed this opportunity to really put the screws on the wheels. Everyone is calling for infrastructure reform. He would have put his own party in terms of a really true stimulus budget forward and put them in a difficult place to reject it and really started on something that could have been a bipartisan move forward for him. I think that was a bit of an own goal, again, not to press it harder last night.
Ed, 2 weeks ago, you and I were sitting here discussing that 77-minute rollicking press conference. Now, the speech we saw last night, it felt like to me that it was candidate Trump's stump speech put through an auto-tune, right? You know, that's the program that record producers use to sort of smooth out the edges and get people back on pitch. Did you hear anything new and different?
Well, I think his general approach and the fact that he was able to come into that room, command it, and deliver a State of the Union-like address proves that this is somebody who, at least to nervous Republicans, is capable of at least appearing presidential and delivering and laying out an agenda. The specifics be damned at this point. I did hear a little more specificity, not much, but a little bit more about sort of where they want to go on Obamacare, where they want to go on tax reform. He did not get into discussion of immigration reform in ways that he has privately now twice in the last 2 weeks with senators and with news anchors talking about the idea of a broader immigration bill. And part of the reason we didn't hear more about infrastructure spending, frankly, is because the biggest, most important audience he had to address there last night and to impress, I don't think, was the American public. It was those hundreds of Republicans in the room who for the last several weeks, with little guidance from the White House, have been squabbling amongst themselves about how exactly to do a new health care system in this country, about how exactly to reform the tax system, how to pay for a border wall, and a host of other issues. And so the fact that he didn't get into the issues where he might be able to find some more bipartisan accord wasn't just because Democrats right now aren't in the mood to work with him and don't feel that he's done anything to win them over, but also because the next few months for him and for Republicans are probably going to be the most critical of the last several years, because this is their one and only opportunity to prove that they can actually govern and make changes after years of threatening to do so if they ever had power.
David, we did not hear about Aleppo. We didn't hear about Moscow. Why not?
Foreign policy was kind of amazingly absent. We had some, you know, some warm-ish words about NATO. We had, as you say, I think the auto-tune analogy is pretty good. You know, we had hints of the sort of the nationalist suspicion of international organizations, where he talked about sovereign states. He talked about free nations being able to decide their own fate. It was interesting that when I checked the European press today for their reactions, one of the big French papers, Le Monde, picked up on that bit and said that that sounded to them like an attack on the European Union. It's those kind of things that made people very jumpy among America's allies. But I think in terms of Russia, it's one of the many areas where it's not just that Donald Trump has kind of controversies that he wants to wish away. I think one of the fascinating things about this 40 days of rollout is there's an open question. Does Donald Trump actually enjoy the kind of the hard grind of governing, the hard grind of detail, of tackling these complex subjects? Or is that actually not his comfort zone? I think that's one of the unanswered questions, too.
I mean, I think it's...